Welcome to Why Not Me The World podcast, hosted by Tony Mantor. Broadcasting from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Join us as our guests tell us their stories. Some will make you laugh, some will make you cry. Real life people who will inspire and show that you are not alone in this world. Hopefully, you gain more awareness, acceptance, and a better understanding for autism around the world. Hi, I'm Tony Mantor, and welcome to Why Not Me The World. Today's guest is Paul Simmons. He is the founder of Autism Radio and Hope Saves the Day podcast. His stories are going to be stories of inspiration and never giving up. And I'm just so happy to have him on our show. Thanks for coming on, Paul.
No, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Autism Radio and Hope Saves the Day.
So Autism Radio actually started in 2010. That's kind of when we became a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Hope Saves Day, which is our podcast, that started in 2007, actually, when podcasting was very, very early on. Again, just, you know, I was sitting on the couch, had surgery, recovering from surgery, and was thinking about, there was an organization called COZEC at the time, which is now Autism New Jersey. And we got to go to some support groups, which were really grassroots support groups, and got some great information. And honestly, we felt not so alone, right? I mean, I think that was the big thing for me, was just having some other parents that we could talk to that have been through, you know, the diagnosis of autism, and actually had kids that were even, you know, almost teenagers at the time. So they were dealing with it much, much longer than we were. And that really resonated deeply with myself, you know, having that information. But the hard part was, I found, you know, finding the time to go to a support group when you work a full-time job, you need a babysitter, right? And there was this whole thing. And I started learning about podcasts. I was like, oh, this whole thing about podcasts. I wonder if I could put a podcast talking about autism, kind of like the support group, but putting it online. And that's kind of where the idea sparked from. You know, and it was a 30-minute show, and it was kind of like, basically was trying to get some information out there, but also share information where people didn't feel so alone. I mean, that was the whole correlation for me being a parent.
I love the fact that you use the term not alone, because I've been using that for quite a while. And part of the reason is because I talked with a 24-year-old kid that was diagnosed autistic at 8 years old. And he told me that he was bullied and felt alone through high school because of it. And in this world, we should not have anybody that's ever feeling alone. So I think there's two things that we need to do is correct that so that people don't feel alone. And then the next thing is bring more understanding into it so that maybe people will realize what's going on with autistic people so that they can help them, guide them, be nice to them, and just generally help them through life so that they don't feel alone.
No, that's a big point, Tony. I mean, I think that's huge, because understanding is part of our journey here too at Autism Radio, is also to talk about the topic of autism, but to break it down into different layers so that a lot of the neurotypical, you know, people understand it, right? You know, you get somebody off the street and they see my son making noise, right? They have no idea what's going on, or maybe he's acting out. They think he's just misbehaving. Well, you know, obviously there is a cognitive development disability there that he has, and really need to educate people on that. And I usually take that opportunity, if I get the dirty looks or something, rather than getting mad and upset, I try to talk to the person and educate them. Sometimes they're receptive, sometimes they're not. But I try to do it in a nice, kind way, where just to, you know, educate somebody that may not understand. And by the time they walk away, they're like, wow, you know, that's, I didn't know that. And that's a good thing.
Yes, that's a very good thing. because the more knowledge that you can pass along to others and the more knowledge that people can find out just will help make things a little bit easier so that when they do see someone this autistic out and about and they might have an episode or whatever, they don't feel as threatened or they don't feel as if they're going to take and say the wrong things and insult anybody.
Yeah, no, that's, I think it's great. I mean, again, I know we got a chance to talk the other day and get to know one another with your background. And again, you know, someone that's not directly connected to autism and the fact that you want to, you know, raise, like you said, awareness, acceptance, and understanding coming from someone that really doesn't have a direct, you know, connection with autism directly. You know, that's a big deal because, you know, I think you can do something very special with that. Again, just bringing that awareness and acceptance and understanding from a different perspective. Because myself, again, you know, coming from a parent's lens, it's going to be a little bit different. You know, I've kind of like lived the life and, you know, everybody that has a child with autism has a child with autism because they're all individuals and they're all very different. Yes, there are some correlations and some similarities of maybe a situation I've been through similar, whereas other parents may not have gone through that situation. And I think that's what, you know, really stands out when you talk about the mysteries of autism, because they're very different. You know, and you have individuals where, you know, there is a lot of changes too with autism because, you know, when I first heard the word autism, I mean, the first thing I thought of was the Rain Man movie, which, you know, Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. I mean, that was the only really correlation or understanding I had. And, you know, it's very different, you know, kind of interpretation by Hollywood that shows a totally different side of autism. And that I couldn't relate because when I looked at my son and the things he was doing, there was no, you know, likeness like that. You know, it was very different. So again, there's so multiple different levels of the autism spectrum, and that's why it's such, you know, it's such a broad spectrum. You know, when you have, like you talk about, you know, celebrities that have autism, they say like Elon Musk, one of the most famous individuals, you know, out there, super smart guy and super wealthy, you know, he says he's on the spectrum, right? So, again, Dr. Temple Grandin, who's a personal friend of mine, is one of the most successful, authors. And, you know, she did things that, you know, having such a special mind, and the way, you know, she calls thinking in pictures, and that's how her mind worked, where she was able to make calculations in her brain where she could literally see the vision and, you know, figure out a way how to bring cattle through, you know, again, I know it's probably not a fun topic, but to the slaughterhouses, but she found a way to bring, you know, cattle and they were relaxed in a much more comfortable manner. Which led to actually better quality meat and just a better experience for the animals itself. You know, and again, she developed this all in her mind. The brilliant woman, you know, and she also talks about a lot of insight on autism, you know, from a different perspective of growing up with autism, because when she was first, you know, when she was born and she was developing, you know, she had limited speech and almost was like nonverbal at that time. And she really lacked a lot of skills. And her mother, she gives her mom a tremendous amount of credit for really pushing her outside of the limits. Because I think, again, back then, you know, they would probably put her in some kind of a mental, you know, institution, put her in a room, because that's how they kind of dealt with disabilities and stuff back then, which was really sad. And we've progressed, you know, a long way these days with special needs and just how we approach it.
Yeah, things have changed so much over the last several years, and that's really good. Now, your son was diagnosed, and that was about the same time that you launched Hope Saves the Day. Is that correct?
Son was diagnosed, which was about 2007, right around the same time the idea and this podcast, you know, Hope Saves the Day, that I developed and started, and we syndicated our program, and we got lucky enough where our program got syndicated in 2009, and we reached a lot of people.
Yeah, that's always great. I'm sure you must have some good stories from that.
I think one of the big things that always stands out was one of my first listeners. It was a single mom actually out of Dallas, Texas. I'll never forget. I got an email because we had a Gmail account at the time, which was, you know, kind of new too. You know, she sent me an email and she says, you know, she listened to the show. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning and she was going through a really hard time, you know, being a single parent. And, you know, she again said that she was going to a really dark place and she heard my story. And again, it really resonated with her that she didn't feel alone. And that was a real life example of someone going through something really difficult and actually listening to the program and got something out of it and connected with her. And she reached out to me and we've been in contact for since 2007. I mean, that's incredible. I developed a relationship with her and her son is now 23 years old. And doing very, very well. We actually were able to provide her services over the years as well, for speech and language. And the one really cool story I like to share, one of the first families we helped was her. We got her an iPad and a speech pathologist to come into her home and work with her son. And within 9 months of using the iPad and the therapy, she was able her son was able to say, "Mommy, I love you" on the iPad to her.
That's such an awesome story. And all for the price of an iPad. Money well spent. That must have just made you feel so good.
That was a very special moment for me. And realized I was onto something. It's like, you know what? I need to be able to do more. And that really was the driver behind us wanting to help more people. And again, we're 100% volunteer organization. I've been doing this since 2010. But again, you know, it was like, we weren't even, Autism Radio wasn't even born at the time. We were just a podcast, but you know, I just took money out of my own pocket and I did this. And I said, you know what, we got to become a nonprofit so we can do more.
Well, that's something to really be proud of. And it's really awesome. The accomplishment that you've done with Hope Saves the Day being a tremendous podcast. And now you've got Autism Radio, where you speak with people that help people all the time.
You know, I think the big thing for me too was, you know, once after a certain point, started bringing some experts on our program. You know, we've had a lot of, I've told you, a lot of celebrities have come on our show as well and sharing stories of hope as well and inspirational stories. But you know, just having a lot of the experts come on the program and having our listeners write in, you know, questions for them and be able to answer them on the show was real a big deal too. Cause you know, coming from a professional lens and some of the parents were able to apply some of the, you know, kind of feedback or information and it actually helped them, which was really special because again, it's all about connecting the dots. I always kind of consider myself, you know, I know, a lot of times, you know, you hear autism is a puzzle. And I know some organizations, a lot of people use the puzzle pieces. And I always said, you know, I just want to be a piece of the puzzle. And if I can help connect some of the dots or connect that puzzle, you know, that I'm doing my job, you know, and again, I love what we do. I do this as a volunteer and, you know, who knew our program was going to reach over 18 million people worldwide now. I mean, it's incredible that it's a monster number and, you know, been doing it a really long time now and, you know, kind of became, you know, the first syndicated radio show in the world that talks about autism. So I'm kind of proud of that, obviously.
And it's a great thing to be proud of. You've done some major accomplishments in helping people. And I know you feel this way just as I do. After you've talked with somebody or felt like you've helped somebody, there's just that warmth that you have that you know that you've done something that's made a difference for somebody in their life.
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling. It almost becomes like a drug, Tony. I gotta tell you, like once you start doing it and getting some people again giving you feedback that you've helped them through something. You know, I remember my daughter at one time, I probably recorded 200 episodes and it was a lot. I mean, because, you know, I'm doing a show every week and again, being syndicated, you have to do a new program every week. That's part of the contract obligation. So it is a lot of work. And my daughter, and I said, you know, I don't know, I want to do this anymore. And my daughter says, "What, Dad?" You know, and I have a daughter who's 2.5 years older than my son. She was probably about 12 at the time or 13. And she said, Dad, you got to do this. People rely on you. Like, you know, what are they going to do without you? And I was like, oh, man. She just pulled at the heartstrings. And I was like, you know, you're right.
Well, if she sees it at 12, that says a lot, because most 12-year-olds, they're not paying attention to what their dad's doing. They're paying attention to their friends. So I can say that, what you're doing is really awesome and helps a lot of people, no doubt.
Well, I brought her into the charity, right? You know, she did a lot of the volunteer events that we had and a lot of the fundraisers. We used to have, every year we'd have almost like a prom, and it was like a dance, and she would volunteer and come, and we would just, you know, the kids would have a blast, and that was really what it was all about. And actually the parents could go off in the section and kind of relax, and we had tons of help on the floor, you know, between aides and therapists and stuff, and people that volunteered their time, where we were able to, you know, this is like, it's funny because Tim Tebow Foundation does this big thing every year. We did this probably 10 years before Tim Tebow even existed, we were probably one of the first ones to start doing these proms back in the day, and it's been a big help to the community and a way to celebrate the end of the year too.
Well, that's awesome, because I've always been a supporter of help your local community as much as you can. So how old is your son now?
So my son is actually 20 years old. He'll be 21 next year. And that's a scary thing, because any parent that knows that's listening to your program, at the age of 21, they age out of the educational system. And there really is a lack of services after your child turns 21. There's very few far in between facilities that have 21 and over available to them. Depending on where you live, some states are better than others that have some facilities and places, but there's really very few. It's a shame. So, I mean, one of my goals, and I think I shared this, or maybe I didn't, Tony, but, I've had plans about 5 years ago. I put together a plan, which hopefully is going to come to fruition one of these days. I'm really trying to work on it, but Hope Village, where the Hope Village would be developed for individuals that are 21 and over. Have a place to go, whether it's a day program, they can go there for the day while the parents are working, or even have, some apartments where they can have some living quarters. So that is kind of my vision. Working in the senior living realm world for the last, almost 10 years now, learning that kind of side of the business and understanding that, is I would like to kind of replicate almost that model, but into, disabilities, where they have a place to live.
And the unfortunate part is there's very few of them around the country.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
So have you heard of Our Place Nashville?
Yes. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Well, I've spoken with her several times, and she tells me that she's one of the few places in the country that does what she does, and that's get housing for autistic people and special needs.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's almost like an epidemic we're not really discussing, honestly, because, you think about in, national, it's one in 55, children are being diagnosed with autism. Now, again, depending on where they are in the spectrum, depends on their level of care. Someone like my son, he needs high level of care. So he needs, he can't live on his own. So he's going to require full care. And I think the greatest fear for me, and I always say this, is that when I'm not here, what happens to him? Who's going to take care of him? And that, because I'm not going to live forever. Unfortunately, I hope I live a long time, but, I'm taking care of him. And that is a big fear, because I am his caregiver. I do all his hygiene, I brush his teeth, I give him showers, I'm responsible for a lot of his care.
Sure.
And, he's unable to really take care of himself, in a lot of ways. I mean, now he can do some things which, to some people they take for granted. Like now he can tie his shoes, he gets himself dressed, he remembers to put on deodorant. He still doesn't know how to brush his teeth right, so he needs help with that. He needs his teeth brushed by me or my wife. And again, he can't feed himself really. I mean, he'll eat anything. He doesn't realize what he's eating. He'll just eat. So we do all his cooking and, making his food. So he needs a lot of care.
Yeah, there's a lot of things out there that we take for granted. And I think the biggest thing we need is understanding and discussion, because we need more people to understand what parents like yourself have to go through. And if we can just get people to the table to discuss it and get a better level of understanding of the needs of autistic people at different levels, because there are different levels of the spectrum, as you were saying, then maybe we could make progress and really help those that need to be helped.
You know, you think about this, and most people don't, you know, obviously, you know, we're not talking about autism being a disease, but like when you look at other things like cancer and you look at other, you know, there's so many centers, there's billions and billions of dollars being raised. And then when you look at autism, it's like the lowest one when compared to all the other charities and all their causes. But yet we have one of 55 being diagnosed with autism. That's a huge number.
That's a huge number. I've also heard that one in seven people worldwide either know someone or have someone that's autistic in their family.
I know. Those are big numbers. And I think it's just being, you know, I think sometimes, and again, maybe, you know, obviously working in this world in the autism field for, you know, 16 years now and doing the show, you know, I look at autism, obviously, you know, April, it gets its kind of highlight for the month of April. You know, we kick it off with World Autism Awareness Month. And then, of course, you know, then we have Autism Awareness Month, and then we have World Autism Awareness Day, you know, which is April 2nd every year. And, you know, it's good that we have that. But then what happens is as soon as April goes away, it's like all forgotten. You know, and the thing is the year, you know, we're still going through this each and every day and we live it. So, you know, it's a little different. And I guess, you know, you think about cancer, obviously, just using that, obviously, we've probably all had somebody, unfortunately, either died or had cancer at one point. It's very, you know, it's very prevalent. And we understand that. And definitely we need to come up with a cure and treatments, better treatments and all that. It's very, very important. I just lost an aunt recently to cancer, unfortunately. And, you know, it's, you know, but I almost feel like autism needs as much attention as something like that, because it is an epidemic today.
Absolutely. My opinion is this. When I was working on my video, I told a friend of mine I was going to include autistic people from Nashville in my video. She says to me, "How can you do that?" My response was, "Why would you ask that?" She says, "Well, autistic people look just like you and I do." So I think that people have a hard time digging into their pockets to give money to a charity that the face of that charity is, well, looks just like you and me. So the only difference is they don't realize that part of the issues that need to be addressed is on the inside, not just the outside.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I was talking to a parent who has a child with Down syndrome and autism. You know, so as dual diagnosis, obviously was born with Down syndrome. And, you know, they raise actually more money for Down syndrome than autism. And because I think you can identify, you can see it, it's visible.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately what makes it really rough for charities that support autism to get money. But it does make us creative, and the more creativity we can come up with, hopefully the more money we can raise to help the autistic charities.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one of my favorite things, I don't know if I got a chance to tell you this, but we do Hope for the Holidays, which this year we did 135 families that were able to help for the holidays. And that was like so cool. We picked 12 families this year to go to their houses. And we brought gifts, you know, Santa comes with the elves and everything. And it was really just a really awesome moment to be able to go and then also give the family some money that they could use it for whatever they want, and food, you know, whatever it was. And, you know, we were able to do that. And it was just amazing when you get to go in someone's house and actually see their situation and be able to give them some relief and some help. You know, real help that makes a difference around the holidays and putting a smile on her face is, you know, to me is worth it. You know, nobody could give me an amount of money to replace that feeling. Honestly, somebody could hand me $1 million. I don't think I'd be as happy as I was that day. I got to be honest, because it was the most gratifying, just fills your heart with love. And just, I can't even put it to words, but just, it's a special moment to be able to do that. And honestly, I consider myself lucky to be able to experience that in my life, because, you know, I always say to myself, you know, those moments are forever ingrained in my heart and my soul.
Yeah. And those type of moments you can't fake, you know, they're real. They make a difference in people's lives. They make a difference in your life. And it's just something that's, that some people never get a chance to feel that kind of special.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say that. So I got an email from one of the moms that we helped. We went to her house and she says, you know, you have no idea, like, we'll never forget this moment. Like, you came in and it was, and it seemed like, it's always interesting when you go into someone's life and help them, it seems to be at the right time, the right place. Like, they were going through really like dark times as a family and everything. And we just happened, you know, the one mom has two disabled children and, you know, the grandmother was sick and it was just like the perfect storm. And we went in there and we gave them money for all kinds of things. And we brought tons of presents wrapped and gifts. And it just looked like a weight was lifted on mom for that moment. And I could feel it in the hug when she gave me the hug. Like, you could just feel the warmth and the love. And it was like, oh my God. And it was like such a tearful, special moment. Like, oh my God. It was just, it was amazing. It was almost like the magic. Like, you know, you see these movies in Hollywood, like these Christmas stories and all these things. That was the real thing. Like, that was the real deal. And it was like, and to this day, I still hear from her. Like, she still hasn't forgotten. And Christmas was what, how many months ago? You know, and she's still like on a high from that. She goes, that got me through every day. Like, I think about that day and how special it was. And her daughter, you know, she can speak, but she's limited. But she loves Santa. And it actually was, again, it was like a perfect moment, because the day before, Santa was supposed to come by in a fire truck. And I guess she was waiting outside for hours and it didn't go down that street and never saw him. And then Santa just happened to show up at her house the next day with gifts and spend time in her house. And her daughter was just blown away. And she says, Mom, Santa in my house, Santa. And she was so excited. It was just an amazing, special moment.
Yeah. And it's moments like that, that they will remember, but so will you, because it's just not every day that you get to do something that's just that good.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, just telling you the story, like, I could feel the warmth in my heart because how that felt, like, even for me, I need to sometimes remind myself of that moment too, because, you know, we go through our days, we're busy, we're stressed, we're this, we're that. And like, when I think about that one particular family, I mean, they're all special, but that one particular family with that situation, it just like, wow, that was just one of the best days of my life.
And I'm sure it was probably one of the best days of that family's life as well.
You know, one thing she said to me is that I think it gave her faith of humanity again. You know, it really showed her that, you know, there's people out there that do good things.
Well, I really like what you're doing. I think what you're doing is, you know, not just for your son, but what you're doing for other people, you know, with your charity and with your podcast. I think that makes a difference. And if you can make a difference at the end of the day, you know, then it's a win.
Absolutely. And Tony, you got to come on Hope Saves the Day too and be a guest on our show and talk about your journey again. I know we're talking a little bit about it on your show here too, but you know, you're a pretty interesting guy and done some pretty amazing things, and how you got here with this platform is kind of special. So you're doing good work too. Remember that.
Well, I appreciate that. And I really do appreciate having you join me on this show today. Just a great conversation, great information, and there's just so much more I know we could have got, but we just unfortunately ran out of time. So thanks for being here.
No, well, thank you, Tony.
Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to our show today. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. If you know anyone that would like to tell us their story, send them to tonymantor.com, contact, then they can give us their information so one day they may be a guest on our show. One more thing we ask, tell everyone, everywhere, about Why Not Me, the World, the conversations we're having, and the inspiration our guests give to everyone, everywhere, that you are not alone in this world.